All right, so we are up to Perek Yud Gimel, and it's a pretty small chapter, and therefore I thought we would try to steal a second Perek as well. Okay, so basically we have started, I think it's already been two Prakim, where we are in a theme which is, in terms of source-wise, heavily, heavily Zohar. We will continue that theme and other Midrashim, but definitely Zohar. And we had branched out already. Again, this is, I think, will be the third and fourth Prakim that we're doing, in which, after having spent so much time talking about the power of learning Torah on us and what should be our mentality, what's Torah Lishma, how do we relate to Dveikus, how do we relate to Musar, Yerushalayim, etc. Since then, he's been talking about the cosmic impact of our Torah learning, that this shefa, this, you know, super duper spiritual, you know, thing was just kind of dripping down, so to speak, to ultimately our level, which starts at the highest of the high. It's, you know, again, all sorts of esoteric ideas that he had mentioned. So that's not, it's like it has a two-way impact. It's impacting us, and but because we are learning Torah and doing that, it's, so to speak, you know, so to speak, sustaining the world. And again, this had given rise to the very famous statement, which we saw in a previous year, in which he, you know, very, very famously says, and I think he means it quite literally, that the world would explode. The world could not exist if there wasn't at least, you know, some Torah somewhere being learned at every moment, because that's basically the battery that keeps the world running. So we're continuing with that broader theme, and specifically with Midrashim and with Zohar. So he says here, beginning of Perek Yud Gimel, Ali de Esa Kator HaKadosha Nishlam Kavanaso Yisbarach Bebriya. Says, first of all, you should realize that when we're learning Torah, we are, so to speak, completing another theme we've seen, but now he's kind of doubling down. We are completing God's ultimate intention when he created the world. Shayarak Mishul HaTorah Shiasku Baisal. Because why did Hashem create the world? Now that is a very, very profound question. And if you would have asked me, I would say, how am I supposed to know? But Chazal, you know, do try to give some kind of answers, and the Nefesh HaChaim definitely takes them in a very specific direction. And he says, based on Chazal's, which actually, some of which Rashi quotes right in the beginning of the Torah, when the Torah says, Bereshit, it's, you know, play on words, Bishvil Torah Shenukha Reshit, Bishvil Yisrael Shenukha Reshit, Bishvil Moshe, that there was a certain line, and this is obviously not a contradiction, it's not a machlokas and answers, these are all coming together. What do these things have in common? Torah, Yisrael, and Moshe. Right, Moshe brought the Torah to Yisrael. Moshe being what he calls here the sarsur, the Kabbalah Satar. He was kind of like the agent. In modern Hebrew, we say the mitavech. Right, he was the agent, the broker who brought us the Torah. As if, basically, what comes out of these midrashim, kavyochel, as if to say, Hu yisbarach sameach b'ma'asav b'olamo b'briyosav, shemalin chen lefanav yisbarach b'shar rishona b'eis abriya. Poshkibu yisbarach b'atzmo kavyochel. That is to say, says Chaim V'lozhiner, in light of this medrash and other sources, that Hashem created the world, that the ultimate telos, the ultimate purpose, would be this, so that the Jewish people would learn Torah. And therefore, now that's just for now, we'll say, you know, how could you argue yes or no? Like, how would you? Right, so we're going to accept that as an axiom. But you'll say, but that's so far away. I mean, that's like the definition of abstract and esoteric, right? So how does that relate to me? So that's what Rav Chaim V'lozhiner is doing now, and he's trying to explain, no, that actually is very, very tachlitic. Very tachlis. It's very much focused. Because every time you learn, literally, when you and I are learning right now, so we are each time, and each person, and each bit of Torah, basically fulfilling the ultimate purpose of the universe. So if you had put in a lot of effort, now again, the idea of effort and Hashem don't make philosophical sense, right? I guess, again, I did study philosophy when I was in college. I can't say I'm a, you know, but not that much since then. I can't say I'm a strictly trained philosopher. But yeah, I dabbled when I was younger, let's put it that way. Enough to get degrees, but I wouldn't call that training. But I think, right, tell me if this makes sense to you, right? From Hashem's perspective, I guess, you know, to, I don't know, make this table or make the world is pretty much the same thing. As if you're all powerful, right? So is it, you know, for a human being, it's harder to do more complex things. Was it harder for Hashem to make the world? I'm assuming not, right? And yet, whether it was quote unquote harder the way we use the term or not, right? Presumably, it's a bigger thing, right? Just objectively, it's a bigger deal. So if you were to try to imagine it on a human level, right, if you do anything, let alone if it's hard for you, let alone if it's a big deal for you, right, when you actually see it coming to fruition, whatever the intended purpose is, right, there's a deep satisfaction to that, right? Not simcha in the way some flippant or glib thing would be happy or fun or whatever, but right, there's a deep, deep satisfaction, right? Again, the deepest level that a human being might be able to achieve is maybe, you know, children. In other words, when especially a couple that, you know, consciously has children and brings them into the world and raises them with a certain vision in mind, So when you see your children growing up to be the kind of people that you had in mind, right, culminating years and kajillions of hours, you know, and those are just the quantifiable things, let alone the non-quantifiable things that parents put into those children, right, what could be more satisfying than that? Right? So in a similar vein, says when you learn, when I learn, when we learn, so we are basically fulfilling what was God's ultimate purpose. If you understand it in that way, the last part of it is not a jump at all, which is that it's ma'alim chen lefanav. It makes him happy. It gives him nachas. It gives him satisfaction, because that was the whole purpose of the world. So quite a chaval, or as my kids might say in Hebrew slang, quite a basa, you know, if it wouldn't happen. So the fact that we're learning, that itself is exactly Kamo Shekiva Hu Yisbarach Ba'atzmo. This is, again, he adds the word kaviyochol, because all of this is like us kind of using human terminology to describe Hashem. So kaviyochol is kind of as it were. But this is what Hashem intended. This is Kiva. These were his hopes, his dreams. And therefore, if we're actually living them out, obviously that's going to give great satisfaction to the Kadosh Baruch Hu. Now he gives another Madrash, Bereishis Rabbah. The Melech Shebana Paltron. Here he gives a more of a human mashal we can relate to. Right? King built a palace. V'ra'osa v'areva lo. And, you know, sometimes you put in a lot of effort, you build a house, doesn't come out the way you wanted. Here it came out exactly the way he wanted. He's thrilled with it. He's so happy with it. And he's so overjoyed, you know, at least initially, he says, Amar, Paltron, Paltron. He, so to speak, speaks to the palace. Halavai tehe malachin, so too, just, you know, halavai, the amount of pleasure that I'm getting from you right now, it should always be that way. Now, that's, on human terms, that's actually quite a profound bracha, right? And sometimes you will, you know, that could be a bar mitzvah speech, you know, to the rabbi, to the bar mitzvah boy, you know, the way you're feeling now, but you're feeling whatever you should always feel, and, you know, or under the chuppah, you know, the couple, the way you're looking at each other now, you should always look at each other. And the reason you would give brachos like that, you know, is not just to sound cliche, it's because on a human level, that's not obvious at all. Right, we're usually excited by new things. It's hard to keep things exciting and yet, you know, sustained over a long period of time. So this king makes a lot of, you know, right now, the first time you get into your new palace, your new house, you know, it's so exciting. Like, every little bit matters, right? It brings you joy. You know, the first time you see the dining room the way you envisioned it, the kitchen the way you worked with the kitchen planner to lay it out, and da 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 da. And you still feel the way 5 years from now, 10 years from now. Right, so it would be a big bracha, you know, to say, paltrin, paltrin, you know, I should always get the chain that from you that I'm getting right now, I should always get that. So says the Medrash, as a mashal, kachamar kadosh baruch hu olamo. So to speak, Hashem said to the world, olami, olami, right at the outset of creation, halavai, te malas chain lefanai, b'chol eis kashem she'alita chain lefanai, b'sha'azu. I should always get nachas from you, so to speak, the way I am getting right now. This is what the pasuk says in Mishlei, b'shevach ha-Torah, when it's describing the Torah metaphorically. Ayelet ahavim vayelet chein. Now, that's referring to like kind of an animal, and ayelet, it's very lovely, and a kind of a goat, which is gives chein. I wasn't sure initially, even just by this quote, how this pasuk related at all, but I didn't look up the whole medrash actually, but I just did look up the pasuk, and the pasuk continues. I don't know why. I think it's the end of the pasuk, which talks about how there should be b'chol eit ahava, and the chagiga should be tamid. I think the conveyance and the meaning here is actually from the end of the pasuk. I think. Just also, I'm not sure exactly what the pasuk is doing. But the idea is that, you know, whatever this beautiful thing that you're observing about these animals or these goats, you know, should always be giving us pleasure, should always be giving us satisfaction. So that's the pasuk, and that applies to this idea. So, again, what will make, as long as the you know, if you're completely materialistic, so then, you know, you build a house, and it's really about, like, you know, 5 years from now, are the walls still as pretty, or do they get scratched? You know, but if you're a little bit of a deeper person, especially let's say if you have young kids, so you, when you build that, what's really exciting to you about the house is what you know how you'll be able to raise a family in the house. Right? Maybe you used to live in a really cramped house, and now kids are on top of each other. Now you have room, or now you have a room, you have a library or a study. You know, it's all sorts of. So you look back on that a few years later. So you know what? Taka, all these things that I thought about, that I dreamed about, that I wanted for my house, you know, Baruch Hashem, you know, they came through. Certainly that would give a person a lot of satisfaction. And that's exactly what the Medrash is saying about Hashem. So when Hashem says, when I look at the world, I want to be able to see that the purpose I built it for is still going on. Well, who does that? The answer is that's really up to us. We saw that last week. We become like a shutaf. We become a partner, right? That's, in a certain sense, that's something that Hashem cannot do. And Hashem cannot be his own partner. Right? So he needs us to actually then live out and make the world the tachlis. And that's why as we said in the opening paragraph, when Hashem sees us, even every one of us, even just you and me right here, learning, that gives him nachas, that makes him happy in some, again, metaphoric way, as much as we can understand it, because the world is actually serving his purpose, okay? So we went actually all this time before our first Zohar, but let your heart not be worried, be still, don't worry, Baruch Hashem, we got in time for our first Zohar. The Zohar is in Parshat Tzav, and it says here, Patach Hanav Hasrab Eliezer, or something like that, Vamar, Vasim Devarai Beficha. The Pasuk says in Yeshaya that I will put my words, so to speak, the Torah, in your mouth. Tanina, we learn from that. Kol Bar Nash Ishtal Domili Araisa. Any person who's learning Torah, Uz Fasei Merachashan Araisa, and a person with their mouth, with their lips, are speaking Torah. And again, I didn't look up the original Zohar, so I guess that must be something good. But the point that we're quoting it is not the original statement, but not only whatever that first thing was, but Lo'od, but even that, even more, Eldu Mekayim Alama. Again, this is what we've seen before. But you, studying Torah, you little you, you're being Mekayim the whole world. And of course, Baruch Hu is very happy with you. He's very excited. Gets a lot of satisfaction. It's as if Hashem made the world that day. Now, what do you mean he made the world? Again, without getting into cosmology. So something happened 5,783 years ago, right? Whether it were things before that, older, I'm not getting into that now. But that number surely has significance, minimum. So all of a sudden, but again, if I built this house and I had the dream of who knows what and it never happened, so then that would be, that's a chaval. That's a sunk cost. I can't go back. I spent the money already. I hired the architect, but that's not what I had in mind. That's not the family I was hoping to raise. But now in Taka, you had spent all the time and money to build this big family room, and everyone's like, what do you need all these bedrooms for? You're like, no, because one day hopefully all the kids will be married, and they're all going to come home for Pesach together. And then your friends say, what are you talking about? They'll be at their in-laws, they'll be there. And then 20 years later, Taka, you have a Pesach where everyone's home, and all the kids and all the grandkids. Right? Just a matter, on a serious and a meaningful level, that would be really, really satisfying. And you'd be, Taka, now, this is why I built the house. Right? So on some level, the kids coming back for Pesach are partners with the parents 20 years retroactively, because now the house served its purpose. So says the Zohar, again, these Midrashim, that's exactly what the role we play when we learn. Okay, next Zohar, Parshas Truma. Pasuk Rabbi Geschizda of Amar. Eis lasos Hashem heferu torasecha. A very, very famous pasuk. Right, that sometimes we have to be, quote unquote, heferu torasecha. Sometimes by emergency measure, we so to speak break the Torah. What does that mean here? V'chol zemna daraisa miskayim ba'alma. Anytime the Torah is being observed in this world, b'nei nasha mishtadlin ba'al, people are learning it. Chavyachu kuchabrichu chadi. So first of all, this again, repeating the same theme. Each time Hashem sees people learning Torah, living Torah, he's very excited. Chadi, he's very happy. The Chadi Ba'alman Kula is not just happy with the people, he's happy with the whole world. He looks at his creation. Taka, it worked out well. Ushamaya va'ara kame bikimiyu. And the heavens and the earth are, so to speak, they're doing what they're tachlis, they're kiyum. V'lo'od el kujabrichu kanish b'chol pamalya delay. HaKadosh Baruch Hu, so to speak, enters in before, his whole, what do they call this in English? Heavenly retinue. Right? We'll add that to our list of English words that only make sense if you know what it's talking about. But there's this idea, again, it's obviously kind of a mystical idea of the pamalya shalmala, the base medrash shalmala. What exactly that means, I don't know, but there's some base medrash up in the sky. I don't know if it looks like an eagle or not, but probably not if I had to guess. But I don't know what it looks like, so who knows? How can I know? Anyway, so Hashem, so to speak, enters in front of them, and he says to them, Chamu, Amakucha de Islay Baora. Take a look, with Nachas, right? It's like the Bubby. You see, that's my grandson. I had this once again at Lahavi of Alvi Abdullah's when I was after 10th grade. I played in the Maccabi Yah Games, like the Worldwide Jewish Olympics. It's actually in Detroit, and I grew up in Cincinnati. It wasn't that far from my house. So my parents and my Bubby, who knew nothing about sports, came to watch me play. I was a basketball dude. I played basketball. And of course, in those days, I don't know if you know what these things are at your age, these old heavy VCR cameras. And it was a big day. And my mom's making my dad schlep it around and take videos as if we're always going to be watching little David playing, in the Maccabi Yah games. Anyway, and you can hear my Bubby, like, she doesn't know what's going on, but anytime I had the ball, oh, that's my grandson, he has the ball. She doesn't know when to cheer, when not to cheer, right? She's so excited. You want to tell her, look, that's my grandson. See the person, much later on in life and much more, with much more satisfaction when I was a rabbi of a shul. So my first time, my grandmother came, my Bubby came, that's a tremendous nach. Look. The guy up there, that's my grandson, right? So that, which we can all relate to, right? I'm sure, in Halavai, you should continue giving your parents and your grandparents nachas. So that's what HaKadosh Baruch Hu, right? HaKadosh Baruch Hu is the Bubby in the sky. He goes to his heavenly retinue. He goes to the Bama, and he says, look at the people that I have over there. Look at these people that I have there. Because the Torah is crowned, b'gineihon, b'shvilam, right? Basically because of them. V'inun kar chamu chedva demareun ba'amei. And they basically, when they see the tremendous simcha that Hashem has in what's happening there, when this Pamalia, these angels or whatever, Miyad Pasche Vamrei, the angels, you know, the other heavenly creatures, are inspired right away to call out to Mika Amcha Yisrael Goya Chabaretz. Right? It's a very, very beautiful vision. That whole Lebedik, you know, Bubby, and you know, usually when the Bubby says that to the other Bubby, she says, no, but you should see my grandson. Oh, my. Here, on the contrary, there's no jealousy. Hashem is boasting about, look, you see, look at my kids down there, what they're doing. And the other Bubbies are like, wow, Takazis, it's very nice. Wow, you know, start singing, it's amazing. So that's what happened, beautiful. And what triggers that? That's a lot of excitement. It's Lebedik up there. What triggers that? This, the fact that we're sitting and learning. Wow, that's so exciting. And one more, we're not done yet, one more. Ubereish Parsha Shmini, Zakin Inun Yisrael, the Kucha Brichu, Yahav Luhun Araisa Kadish. Oh, how fortunate are the Jewish people that Hashem gave them the Torah. Chedvasa de Kula, which is the one that can bring joy and happiness to everything. Chedvasa de Kucha Brichu, it can bring joy, happiness, satisfaction to Hashem. The Itilalusa delay. And it becomes this kind of plaything, or this simcha, oh, I'm sorry, Italusa. It's the thing that Hashem is metayel in. Again, it's got a different kind of a metaphor. I'm not exactly sure what the image, you know, it's, again, it's the place where Hashem, so to speak, wanders. He takes a walk, so to speak. Again, I assume it's just another way of saying it. It's a source of dissatisfaction. As the Pasuk says in Mishlev, heyeh shashuim yom yom, right? It'll be a kind of a delight or a plaything every day. So again, yet another Zohar, another source that talks about the great pleasure that Hashem takes from our Torah learning. Okay? Any questions on that? No? Good. Okay. So as I suspected, Perek Yud Gimel was relatively short, so hopefully we can get through most, if not all, or at least the main points of Perek Yud Daled. And, you know, again, it'll be hard for us, but I would like to keep it as a goal. I'm not sure if you guys are staying the whole year or not, but either way, I would love Halavai, we could finish all of Shaar Daled. At some point, maybe when I know, you know, if guys are starting to leave, maybe we'll try to increase maybe twice a week or something, I'm not sure. But right now, we're obviously, we have a while to go, but if we can chop two parakim now, so that's that'll help us. Okay. Ready? Perek Yud Daled. Continuing with the theme. Gam ha'olamos v'habrios kulum heim oz b'chedvasi yisei rasa onihirin mizir ha'or ha'elyon ha'shfei aleh mimakom shor ha'elyon shel ha'torah. And it's not just HaKadosh Baruch Hu. I'm not sure which is like the Kal and the Chomer here, so to speak. But it's not just HaKadosh Baruch Hu who's taking, oh, nachas, that my children are down there and they're studying Torah and they make my shutuf and my bria, you know, like the grandfather who broke his back to start a business, not because he needed the business and he could have retired and sold out a long time ago, but he kept on going. So hopefully his grandchild should have, you know, should carry on the legacy. And that finally day when that grandchild, you know, Taka comes and he knows more how to than just to get coffee, right? He actually is competent. He went to law school. He actually knows how to be a lawyer. He knows how to be a businessman. Oh, the nachas, wow, look, you know, the plans I always had all these years ago when I started that business, that now I should have my children and my grandchildren. Oh, what great satisfaction. So that's what we saw last parak. So now, says the Nefesh HaChaim, it's not just that, but the world itself, as it were. The world itself is thrilled and excited that we have the Jews are studying Torah. How do we see that? Kamasha Kosa, but Perek Ma'alos HaTorah. And we've seen that phrase before. That's kind of like a nickname for the sixth Perek of Perek Yavos, right? Usually it's known as Perek Kinyan Torah. He calls it Perek Ma'alos HaTorah, right? This, which is like, really was a Braisa, but right in the time of the Gaonim, it was appended to Perek Yavos, which is originally in Mishnah, it's only five prakim. So that way we have the sixth prakim, which is the minhag of learning between Pesach and Shavuos. So we have those 6 full weeks after Pesach to get to Shavuos. And in that Perek, the whole Perek is all about the beauties of Torah. The very first Braisa or Mishnah, or whatever you want to call it, in the sixth parak says that the Torah, if you learn Torah, you're mesameach es hamakom, okay, that we just saw, but also mesameach es habrios, v'chein amr Torah eyesh ashuim yom yom. That there's something about learning Torah which is not only making Hashem happy, making other people or the whole world itself, so to speak, happy. You become, and again, the Mishnah there describes how you become mesameach the world, you become a rea, Hashem's best buddy. Again, in all of these, Nefesh HaChaim has already quoted some of that before, it all fits into this theme. Again, it's, on the one hand, it's very, very esoteric. On the other hand, I think, at least on our level, or should I say on my level, we can understand it in a very prosaic kind of way, which is that, again, if you, especially the more complex and the bigger the thing is, but whenever you do something with a certain intention in mind, you know, it's never a guarantee or a given that it will come to fruition. So when the taka happens, you know, again, as I say, you worked on something very hard and it actually works. You know, it fulfills its purpose. So any that would be a moment of great satisfaction. And if it's the type of thing which only works because someone else played a part, so certainly, you know, you would have great affinity for and affection and appreciation for that person. So that's basically been the theme. But now he's expanding, not just HaKadosh Baruch Hu, but the world itself. Where do we see that? A Zohar. I know you missed it, but it's back. Vayakel, Pasach v'Omer. Pasach, the very famous Pasach, mamish towards the end of Nevi'im, right? The last of the Nevi'im was Malachi, It's three prakim, Chag is Chayim Malachi, and here this is in Perek Gimel of Malachi. Oz Nibru Yersha, very, very famous pasuk. So the Zohar says, what does that mean, Nibru? They will speak. It's talking in the past tense, if you look in the context. Az Dibru mi Baile, it should have said they spoke. Not that the Yerah Hashem will one day speak. My Nidbru. So the Zohar answers, El Nidbru Le'ela Mikol Inun Retichin Kadishin. It's not referring just to the people who study Torah. That could be, you know, in the present or the past. But it's the result of the people down here studying Torah. What happens as a result? People, the forces Lamala, the angels, the heavenly base medrash, all of those things will be right. This is phraseology in Kabbalah, which comes from Yecheskel, right? The Merkavala Shchina. That's what retichin are chariots. These holy chariots, whatever, all sorts of mystical things happening up in Shamayim, chalinun chayalin kedushin, and the various, you know, the tzavaos, right, the hosts, the soldiers of Hashem, whatever, up there in Shamayim, begin the inun milin kedushin salkin le'ela. Because what happens? Again, this is a thing that he has mentioned previously, but now he's revisiting it. That when you study Torah and you learn Torah down here, right? So, what does that trigger up above? Not only do those worlds, so to speak, the words travel, so to speak, all the way up Le'ela, up to the Mala, but Kama Inun de Mekadme Natelun Kame Malka Kicha, and then these heavenly hosts, chariots, whatever they are up there, they take the words of Hashem. They're ma'atrin, b'kam itrin. They then, you know, beautify them. They decorate them. They put all the sorts of crowns, so to speak, on them. Be'inin ahorin iloin. With the highest of the highest lights and things like that. V'kulu nidburu mikami malka ilo mancha michedvan. And then, and this is what the nidburu and the Navi is referring to, this secondary process which happens after we learned, but as a result when our words of Torah get brought all the way up for Kadosh Baruch Hu, and then, so to speak, they all, if you will, those words of Torah are spoken again in front of a Kadosh Baruch Hu up in the heavenly spheres. And that gives even more simcha to Kadosh Baruch Hu. The Inun Riki and Kame Malka Kucho. So they bring this, the Torah that we're learning down here up before Hashem, and you know, they dress it all up like Esther Hamalka, you know, at the beauty pageant, and they present it to Hashem. Umalka Kadisha Mistakel Behu, Itara Behu, right? Kadosh Baruch Hu, so to speak, looks at these words, he hears these words, and it's a tremendous, tremendous source of simcha. Inan Salkin al Reshe, Vahu Itra, Nasin Vyaspin al Cheke, Lagoy, but Kufe, Masin Salkin al Reshe. And they, so to speak, they kind of become crowns on a Kadosh Baruch Hu's head, if you will. But Alda Amra, and that's what it means, Araisa, Veheyesh Ashuim Yom Yom, right? We had seen that Pasuk previously, right? That these things will be, that are, so to speak, playthings for Hashem every day. Vahiti loksi, it doesn't say it in the past tense, el veheye, kozman, kolidon, milin ilon, salkin kame, right? So again, we might have lost a little bit in the translation, but the basic gist and even the basic image is quite clear that, so to speak, again, beyond our, at least I can speak for myself, it's beyond my actual comprehension, but, you know, take it or leave it on faith, says the Nefesh HaChaim based on the Zohar, that when we learn Torah, the words go up to HaKadosh Baruch Hu in a very elaborate kind of way, and they bring tremendous, tremendous nachas, not only to Hashem, but to everyone involved, the world itself. As long as we're involved in Torah, connecting and cleaving the Torah the right way, this is a very important idea which comes up in a lot of sources, that when we learn Torah the right way, the simcha that we can create for the world and for ourselves is on the same level as it took place at Sinai. Let's just see if we can get this last... let's skip, if you will. You see what it says, Vatam? So he's basically quoting Zohar to make this point, but he's going to sum it up, and I think this is all we have time for. But this is the basic ikur. What is this idea of smechik in Sinai? V'hatam shekamosha b'eis hamayim en hamakudosh nitbaku kaviyachol b'dibur yizbarach. What was so happy and so special? A lot of, you know, mystical sources speak about the tremendous simcha. Again, there was also fear. Fear and simcha are not a contradiction. You can have them coexist, right? If the Shem Yira, if the Shem Simcha, right? So what was the source of all the simcha at Har Sinai? The fact that we were mamish one with, there was a dveikus with the words of Hashem. So says the Nefesh HaChaim, what these Zohars are teaching us is, Kain Gamata, no less than at Sinai, right now. B'chol Eis Mamish. Anytime you're learning Torah, who dovik al yado b'dibura yizbarach mamish. That's two mamishes in one sentence. Very yeshivish. That this says Nefesh HaChaim, you're mamish connecting to Hashem in His words like we did at Sinai. Because Hashem gave over everything to Hashem at Moshe at Sinai. I feel Moshe Talmud Katan Shalmi Rabbo, as we've seen previously in Perek Vav. Any future Torah, which is really, as long as it's a derivative in the proper way, with good Yud Gimel Midos, etc., of the Torah that was given to Moshe, so it all connects back to Moshe. The Gam Atab Eish Adam Osek, but anytime you learn Torah now, every word, Oso Teva Mamish, Nchatsevis Oz Lahavas Eish Mepivis Barach, it becomes like a fire before Hashem. Nachshav Kilu Atam Akabal Asina Mepivis Barach, as if you got the Torah exactly. So the same thing that brought Simcha to your Neshama then brings the Neshama now. So what we're doing is no less. Amazing. Amazing. Shkoyach.
Yeah. Sky.